For Illinois Public Radio, I'm Sam Dunklaw. Historians David McDonald and Rain Waters have taken a fresh look at the story of Illinois' first capital city in a new book called Kaskaskia, The Lost Capital of Illinois. They've put together what they say is a comprehensive account of the town, complete with historical photos, maps, and even tales of a centuries-old curse. I sat down with the authors to talk the history and hard knocks of Kaskaskia, a town that went from being a bustling territorial hub to an almost forgotten hamlet of merely a dozen people. David, this town of Kaskaskia, for our listeners who maybe have never been there, can't really place it on a map, where is it? And in your opinions, why is this little town so important to Illinois history?
Well, it's about 65 miles south of St. Louis, but of course on the Illinois side of the river. It was founded when some Jesuits and the Kaskaskia Indians settled there in 1703. From that time until about 1830, it was the largest settlement anywhere around. It was the largest of the French villages. It was our territorial capital. It was our first state capital. And then after 1820, it began to decline. And eventually, it was swept away by the Mississippi and now doesn't exist at all. Although there is a town called Kaskaskia, but that's New Kaskaskia, 3 miles away from the site of Old Kaskaskia.
Why did they choose to settle there, and why was it valuable to those that did?
Well, it was very, very rich bottom soil, wonderful for grazing animals, wonderful for raising crops, but it also had problems. It floods quite regularly and sometimes disastrously.
And that is sort of where things start to come apart. The book also mentions the town suffered from inept rule from both the British when they took over and then the Americans when they took over from the British. Can you give any examples of that and whether or not it contributed to sort of the beginning of the end for Kaskaskia?
Well, between 1765, when the British moved in, and 1778, when George Rogers Clark conquered the area for the new American Republic, the British had 9 different governors, all military men, none skilled in civil administration, several of them notably corrupt, others perhaps well-meaning, but totally inept. And then George Rogers Clark came in, and he was fairly well greeted by the French. And then when they pulled out in the early 1780s, they didn't leave much of anything behind, and there was virtual anarchy for some years. So that left a period from 1765 to 1790 that discouraged many people, and even under the American rule, many left.
And during this time, there's a lot of things going on. What are the sort of things that Kaskaskia had to contend with?
Well, a tornado ripped through in, I think it was 1812. The New Madrid earthquakes hit Kaskaskia very hard. There were 4 or 5 years of successive crop failures in the 1880s. And remember, these people are not only growing for the market, they're growing subsistence food. So there was hunger in the land during those years.
The town is eventually swallowed whole by the Mississippi. Can you describe that?
The banks of the Mississippi had been largely denuded of trees in order mm-hmm. to feed the boilers, the sidewheel steamers. So the river grew wider, shallower, and began to erode away the banks. And then finally it began to change course and ate into the narrow neck of land between Kaskaskia. One side was limestone bluffs. They were not about to be eroded away. And the other side on which Kaskaskia stood was soft alluvial soil. So the town succumbed and nothing could be done to save it.
Rain, I want to turn to your work on the curse of the town. The both of you write in the book that it is certainly interesting coincidence that the number of misfortunes befall this town to where, quote, even a reasonable person could be forgiven for thinking that the town was cursed.
Exactly. That's what fascinated me about it. It's superstitious, I guess, but we all have our little superstitions, and it's very easy to believe in those things, you know, and the town maybe in a sense it was cursed.
How did that begin, and can you differentiate for us the facts of sort of what led people to believe that versus the fiction that was created?
When things were going wrong in the 1780s, a local priest wrote something of a lament about the sad state of the town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And later on, a portion of that lament, just a line or two, was taken by some people as a curse rather than a complaint.
Yeah. Well, you have to think about the location of Kaskaskia. You've got tornadoes, floods, famine, disease. It was not the greatest of location in spite of the soil being so wonderful. There was just a lot happened there. And so his complaints were kind of valid.
The curse, as it is told in 1892 and in 1902, are complete fictions loaded with all sorts of anachronisms. For instance, sometime before 1712, an Indian and French couple are supposedly fleeing to St. Louis, which wasn't founded until 1764.
I think they attempted to take off, and
yeah,
the young man was taken by the father
and
put on that boat, we'll call it a raft, and set off on the Mississippi, and for dead. Just sent him off. And as he's floating away, he curses the town. I'm laughing. It's not funny, but it is funny. I mean, you know, because that's the part that's another part that's made up.
And there are many other historical blunders in these stories that show that they are fiction.
They kind of took the curse and romanced it up a bit.
Quite a bit.
As we went on into the early part of the 19th century, Kaskaskia becomes the territorial capital and then the state capital for Illinois. But then it loses its place as the state capital to Vandalia. What happened there?
Well, there were a number of talking points about why they wanted to move the capital. They said, oh, Kaskaskia floods too regularly and they have to use rented buildings there. But the real reason was that a number of the state legislators had bought land around Vandalia cheaply and expected to make a killing when the capital moved there and people moved following the capital. I'm kind of pleased to say that Vandalia never really took off all that much and they didn't make the killing they had hoped. But it was sort of a corrupt political deal that led to the movement.
It was probably only convenient that Kaskaskia did in fact flood as much as it did.
Well, it was the beginning of a long tradition of Illinois politics.
What are you two most proud about having finished this 3-year-long work?
Well, I think gathering the photos and trying to bring together a connected narrative from so many different sources.
You know, I grew up in a military family. I've lived all over the U.S. I was born in North Carolina and lived there mostly. But I guess I'm from Illinois now. And this is history, part of my history to me. This is important.